This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Game four to the Hawks, and the Knicks trail the best of seven series, 3-1.
That was a bloodbath this weekend.
It feels like Atlanta's the better team.
I don't know if frustration is the right word. I would say maybe disappointment.
The Hawks have more talent, and they're playing the best basketball of their season right now. You can't say that for the Knicks.
When we came into the season, everybody was expecting us to be in the lottery. For us to even be in the playoffs, it was great. I don't feel like our team is done yet.
There's resiliency to this team. We have to fight back, and we will.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, the big 6 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'll give you guys the option. We'll vote on it as a show. I'm fine either way. We've told Omar we expect calls. The Knicks had a horrendous weekend. Omar is there, so we can go to him now, or we can get into what's going on with the NBA and the fans and then get to Omar in a few minutes. You tell me what you'd like to do.
I would vote Omar to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. Get us fired up.
All right, Chris?
I agree.
All right.
I agree. Let's go, Omar.
Let's go. We laid down the gauntlet, and he has responded after a horrendous Knicks weekend. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, David. Good morning, everybody. So here it is. Very, very, very bad weekend, and they got sweet, humbled, all of the New York Knicks fans. And let me, from my heart, bottom of my heart, I got to get it out of my chest. I have it for a long time. If you are going to work and you are going to coach, Nate McMillan has first basically annihilated Tom Thibodeau. And that was my point all along. He's a great coach. To make this championship to another level, can he take that? I have a question mark on Tom Thibodeau. Nate McMillan has basically outcoached him. And secondly, the thing is, I just cannot see. It was so terrible for me the whole weekend. I still cannot get over it. I try to get sleep. I wake up. I have a horrendous. I cannot imagine. You tell me. Everybody tells me that they are more talented team, Atlanta Hawks. So that's why I should keep it like that. But my problem is my superstar does not perform to the level. And then he takes...
Omar, he's not a superstar, Omar. That's the problem. He's not a superstar.
Okay, he's a star. Okay, he's a star. A rising star that everybody raised him to the level that he may be a superstar, right? But he's not, right? But my problem is, if he doesn't, according to the media, that everybody wants Alfred Payton out of the team. If you have won 41 games with that starter, I don't care how much bad he has performed, or 5 minutes, or 7 minutes, and that 9 minutes in two games, when Derrick Rose went to the bench, they have a run in the third game, and they have a run in the fourth game when Derrick Rose was not there. And that 7 and 9 minutes that Alfred Payton plays, that is the difference. And you have won 41 games in 72-game season. And you have known. Why don't you stick with it? But because of media pressure, because of everybody, not fan pressure, media pressure, everybody in the media wanted him to
stay. Yeah, but Omar, time out. Time out, Omar. Omar, time out.
I don't think you're going to get him to stop.
You are 0-2, and you get blown out of the building. Blown out of the building. That's the reality. That's a reality check. That is the reality check.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Time out. He made the change from Alfred Payton to Derrick Rose after a win. He did it after a win. So as far as media pressure, I don't think... Tibbs doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to let the media dictate what he does.
No, not at all. Not at all. But he saw the writing on the wall. He saw how much of a struggle it was, especially early on in games offensively. I mean, the first couple of games, Alfred Payton was playing 5 minutes here, 4 minutes there, and then he was going to Derrick Rose because he saw the complexion of the game. The Knicks were getting down in double-digit holes, and for a team that's offensively challenged, that's not the place that you want to be. So I get not wanting to take Derrick Rose away from the bench unit, but I also understand what Tibbs is thinking going down to Atlanta, not having the energy of the crowd at MSG behind you, not wanting to get behind this Hawks team because he knows that they can score buckets in bunches. Like, I understand his mentality. It's just that when you look at the problem that he's facing, there are no good answers for it.
What he's trying to do, though, Dave, is, I mean, when Julius Randle struggles the way he struggles, I mean, someone has to score.
Yeah, you need help. And I don't understand this. He's been completely outcoached in this series. Nate McMillan has a much more talented team than Tom Thibodeau does in this series.
Well, more importantly, he has the much more talent. He has the point guard in the series. He's got the. I mean, Trae Young is the best player in the series right now.
And Julius Randle has been horrendous in this series.
Yeah, but I think defensively, Nate McMillan has done some things to frustrate Julius Randle, and he deserves a lot of credit for him. Like being able to throw traps and double teams at him, like making sure that they get the ball out of his hands. I mean, the way that they have frustrated Julius Randle is unlike anything we've seen from any team that has faced off against the Knicks all season long.
Yep, we haven't seen him play like that.
No, so you got to give Nate McMillan some credit for doing that.
I give him a ton of credit. Yeah. I don't know what more Tom Thibodeau is supposed to do. I think Tom Thibodeau is very shorthanded in this series. I don't not give Nate McMillan credit. I give McMillan a ton of credit. I just don't think that he's walked all over Thibodeau. I think Thibodeau's in a very difficult situation in this series.
Yeah, but
I guess the point
there's
is
only
one
so much
coach.
You can do.
One coach has drawn up some X's and O's, and it's worked out. The other coach in the series has done the same, and it hasn't worked out. So I think that's why people draw that conclusion. But Dave, I understand exactly where you're coming from. Like with Tibbs, there are no quick fixes when it comes to some of the issues that this Knicks team is facing. And I think the reality is that there's just a talent deficiency when it comes to their roster in comparison to what the Hawks have.
But I think there's a huge difference, though, too. I mean, Chris, I think you're right. Like, I mean, the things that they've done to Julius Randle has, you know, obviously, you know, frustrated him, and he hasn't played well. But, I mean, there's a big difference when your best player, like, the best player on the Knicks is, essentially, he's a point forward, right? Like, that's, yeah. I mean, that's what Julius yeah. would play. The best player on the Hawks is a point guard. So when you try to get the ball or double-team Trae Young, it's... Okay, you can double team Trae Young, but he's just gonna he's gonna dish the ball to someone who's gonna have a wide open shot. That's what he does. That's his job is to distribute the basketball. Like that's not what Julius Randle does really well. Like that's not he's okay at passing, but you see like when in those spots, that's not really where he's at his best. And there's turnovers and I mean there's a bunch of bad stuff that happens in those spots. I think it's harder to shut down a player like that.
Yeah, the degree of difficulty for Tibbs in order to get his star going is a lot greater than it is for Nate McMillan because Trae Young is so good, because he has a high level of awareness. He's got a great basketball IQ. Like, it doesn't matter what the Knicks have done to him so far in this series. He still finds a way to be able to be effective, right? I mean, the guy scores points in bunches. He gets other guys involved. It feels like Trae Young can pick and choose his spots when he wants to get his. But his focus is making sure that everybody gets into the flow of the game, just because at those times where the Knicks try to get the ball out of his hands, when they force other guys to beat him, those guys are ready to make shots.
Yep.
And the difference in this series has been the role players for the Hawks have been able to contribute in that way. The Knicks guys, not so much.
That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. And DCR 98.7 ESPN presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Guys, it is now an epidemic. We talked about it last week. I didn't know it would continue to this extent this weekend. Fans just going too far, running out onto the court, throwing water bottles, spitting in the face of the players. I mean, I don't know that I ever remember it to this extent nonstop. We have a real problem on our hands right now.
Not as frequently. I mean, this is something that, I mean, it's happened.
It's happened sparingly, but it's now, it's an epidemic at this point, isn't it?
Well, I don't think you've ever seen. I mean, this is, I don't know what you want to blame it on, the fact that you're finally getting fans back in buildings and everything else, or just frustration, or you don't know how to control
folks
yourself.
Folks just acting up because yeah, they like you haven't don't know how to control been in arenas now. In a long time. Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. I mean, this has happened for a long time, but I don't, like you mentioned, like the frequency at which this is happening now, it seems like every single night something like this happens.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, what, 3 incidents in the last 5 days?
More than that, though. We just found out that Quickly got a beer dumped on him.
Right. And you hear his response. He's like, well, I guess that's just how it goes. No, it shouldn't be how it goes.
No, it shouldn't be, Dave. It shouldn't be. But, I mean, it just you hate to see that this has kind of become the story of the NBA playoffs early on, because in that game this weekend with the Celtics and the Nets, we should be talking about the Big Three going for 104 of the Nets' franchise record, 141 playoff points. But instead, we're talking about a fan that decides he's going to throw a water bottle and try to hit Kyrie Irving. Now, thankfully, you know, the Garden found out exactly who it was. They banned the fan for life, and the Boston Police Department decided they're going to arrest this guy and they're going to try to prosecute. But, I mean, I don't understand why fans feel like they're entitled to do those types of things to players. Like, what is your mindset when you're doing something like that to a player? Like, what exactly is it that you expect to happen, or what do you feel like you're entitled to do? I don't understand treating another human being like that. That's the part that I don't get. And the NBA and the authorities are going to have to send a strong message to try to curb this behavior, because if they don't, then this is going to continue to happen, Dave.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the goal is. That's a foreign concept.
Is it possible that people don't think that far in advance? It's just like you're such prisoner. And I'm not defending. I think it's disgusting. But you're such a prisoner of the moment that you can't even think of what happens 5 or 10 minutes from now or later this night or next week. It's just exactly that moment and how angry you are.
Yeah, but you know, this isn't like a kid. This wasn't a kid.
No, I'm not.
It's a grown man that does it. It's a grown man doing it. Like, I mean, what are you hoping to achieve in that moment? Like, I hope no one sees me and I don't get banned for life. Like, hopefully this water bottle hits Kyrie, or I'm going to spit on Trae Young. And then what? Because you're so disgusted. So then what? Now you're the Celtics fan. Now, I mean, everyone knows who you are. Your face is all over the place. You got arrested at the game. They're going to bring up charges on you.
Yeah.
And now you can't go to another sporting event for the rest of your life.
Good.
At the Garden. Was it worth it? Was that worth it? No, obviously that's not worth it. It's stupid. It's stupidity.
But I don't understand how you can get to the point where you can treat another human being like that. Like, that's the thing that I don't get. Like, that's another person. Like, you wouldn't just walk up on the street and throw a water bottle at another person.
Have you seen what happens in the streets now? People that walk down the street, there's video all the time of people just getting punched for no reason.
I walk down the street every single day, and that's not happening. Now, I get that I'm different. I'm a 6'8", 300-plus-pound black man. I understand that. But, I mean, just the fact that you would have the audacity to throw something at somebody, a water bottle at somebody, or you would spit on somebody. I don't understand that. How can you as a human being do that to another person? It's disgusting, Dave. And the NBA needs to send a strong message, and the authorities need to send a strong message too. I mean, banning these fans from the arena for life, that's a part of it. But I think they got to go a step further. They got to prosecute these individuals to the point where it becomes a deterrent to do anything to these players. Because, listen, man, these guys in a lot of ways are defenseless when it comes to stuff like that. You can't, if you're going to have fans in the building, if you're the NBA, you can't prevent them from being able to do something like that, other than having some kind of tool that you use retroactively to punish those people. That's the only thing you can do. There's no way you can shield the players from that. So, I mean, this is a big problem that they gotta kind of get a handle on, because it's happening far too frequently.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You should hire an intern to kind of do some of the secondary stuff that you don't want to get done.
No, we're all set.
Write your open for you.
No, I like writing my own open.
No, it stresses you out.
Listen. I would end up stressing out the intern to a point where he or she would probably quit.
I think that's true.
I hate you. I hate everything.
Rico, can the intern do grocery shopping?
Oh, avocado touch.
See, now we're talking.
Yeah.
See, now we're talking, because the grocery shopping, I used to love doing it. Now with all the Amazon shoppers and everything else, like the guy the other day, like he comes over and he starts bullying me, like he's up shoulder to shoulder for the organic bananas, and then
he's bullying you.
Well, yeah, like I'm trying to find the right kind of bananas, the right ripeness, right? Like I need just a little bit green, but a couple days I want it to be right to eat, and he just, as I'm going to reach for it, he grabs it, takes the bananas, and then just takes one banana off, and then puts, like, doesn't even hang them back up, just takes the
You're
one
not
banana.
Supposed
and then just,
to do that.
Oh, yeah, he took one banana and then just
you
put
don't
him down.
Take one banana and return the rest.
Yes, that's what he did. Didn't even
they
hang him
come
up.
Come in a bunch for a reason.
Didn't even have the decency to hang him up. One banana, and then he's got they all have their phones, too, because they're trying to read the order. Just takes the one banana, puts it in the bag, and then throws the rest of the bunch down. I'm telling you right now.
You should have rammed him with your
car. I can't.
Rammed him.
No, I can't do it. That's like I rub my earlobes and go, woosah, woosah.
And this is why you need an intern. You could see, look at what you, Rick DiPietro Incorporated, you could have an intern. You could hire multiple, a produce intern, a frozen vegetable intern, any kind of intern you'd like.
It's the produce, though, what gets me. The produce is where all the anxiety lies. It's the produce.
That's a great quote. The produce is where the anxiety lies. Apple, hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Because otherwise, I'm flying through there. Well, the system is, I mean, top-notch. Right to the deli, especially if there's no line. I need this. I need the 2 pounds of the turkey, and then I'm bombing into the dairy, and I'm over. But the produce is where I get all.
Yeah, you get hung up with the produce.
It's because I got a mango in my mouth. Haven't had a mango in weeks.
Yeah, because you're now terrified of the mango.
No, I'm cutting down. I was eating too many. I was eating too much of the mango.
Well, why can't you eat the mango?
I was addicted, man. I'm eating almost a bag a day.
They're so good, though.
So it's either you can't eat them at all or you eat a full bag a day? There's no in-between for you?
No, there's no. I treated myself to a frozen yogurt last night. How many frozen yogurts do you think I ate last night?
4.
Yes.
Yep. You really have issues. Let's go to Jason and Ronkonkoma. Good morning, Jason. You're on 98.
I've done what I came to done.
Hey, how are you guys? Good morning.
Well, we're doing great. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I just said good morning. I didn't actually ask how were you.
Yeah, you did.
That's Dave's fault. Okay. That's Dave's fault. That call right there, and we'll let you finish, Jason. What he just did was the crux of my problem.
Why do you hate me?
Because I can't tell. Like, because if I do what you did, now all of a sudden the whole call gets foobarred.
No, I think we're great. Jason, we're in great standing. Go ahead, please.
What you want, a cookie?
So my point was just, if you go on the Long Island Railroad, you see all these signs that assaulting a MTA worker is a felony, that you can get 7 years in jail for, because it's automatic to protect them because they're vulnerable. Same thing should be in every arena, every stadium, everywhere, where you throw something at a player, you spit on a player, automatic felony. This way it's not a misdemeanor. This way it's not like a simple assault. I mean, banning somebody is, you guys did the same thing to Omar, and all he did was not call you.
Yeah, but that's serious business, though, Jason. For Omar, the ban is almost as bad as being arrested.
He was calling with apologies. It really affected him.
Yeah, they don't even realize that he was calling off the air to talk to the producers, to talk to RJ about trying to get himself back on.
That's right. He had a whole litany of things to...
Yes, you take away what's most important to somebody. And for Omar, it was his ability to call the show. We took it away, and now he's back.
And you know what? He did a great job. As bad a Knicks weekend as we've seen forever, and who's lined up right away on Tuesday, Omar.
And he did not disappoint, because when Rick tried to interrupt him, he just blew right past that stop sign. You can't interrupt Omar.
You can't interrupt him.
Yeah.
He's Omar.
You can't stop him.
No, you can't. Yeah,
you can't even contain him, Dave.
His theme music should be the no stop sign speed limits when he gets on. That's what he should be, because there's no
stop. But I think the caller's right. I don't know what the answer is. Something has to be done.
In that moment, they're not thinking about that.
Well, maybe you should.
But they're not.
Well, you know, if there was a punishment in place that if you did something and crossed the line to that extent that you're going to lose your job or you're going to wind up in jail, maybe you would think about it. Obviously, something has to change.
Somebody ran on the court last night.
Yeah, the Wizards-Sixers game.
Okay,
yeah.
So what do you like? You don't think this person is paying attention to what's going on right now and realizes like the guy in Boston just got arrested, they're going to press charges? Well, in that moment, these people aren't thinking.
Well, here's what I would say, Rico. Running on the court is one thing, but when you attack a player or you spit on a player, that's something different to me. Like, I understand, like, being on the court does put the players in danger, but when you're assaulting the player by doing that kind of stuff, or when you're using racial slurs toward players, I think that takes it to a different level. And there's got to be a way where you can prosecute that beyond just banning a guy from the arena. There's got to be some other measure that you can use as a deterrent to curb that kind of behavior, because clearly what they're doing right now by telling the fans they can't come back to these arenas ain't enough to stop more fans doing the same thing. So you got to figure out something else. And I don't know if that means getting law enforcement from that municipality involved, but you got to do something, because you got to protect the players. The players are the product. You have to find a way to make sure that they feel safe and that they're not subjected to that kind of stuff.
Here's Woj, and I said we would play it. Let's do it now. He says, and this is upsetting, fan behavior is overshadowing anything else right now in the playoffs.
Well, listen, this is a great cause for concern for the NBA. First of all, players should not be subjected to this, but also it's overshadowing the playoffs. And so this is certainly a trend that the league wants very much to stop. I think individual teams do also do too. And you're seeing arenas, teams filing criminal charges against individuals. The man in Boston last night, they asked Trey Young in New York whether he wanted to file charges against or wanted files charges charges filed against the man who spit on him at Madison Square Garden. The hope in the league is that kind of deterrent, not just that you're going to get your tickets taken away or you're going to get banned from an arena, but that you're going to face criminal criminal charges, that ultimately is going to stop this. It hasn't yet.
I don't know what you do. If it's a felony is carried with spitting on a guy or any of the things that these fans are doing, if that doesn't deter the fan, I don't know what does, Chris.
Well, I mean, Dave, as long as the teams and the local authorities are doing everything within their power to make sure that the players are being kept safe, then I think everybody could accept it. Beyond that, you're just hoping that human decency wins out. But I mean, you got to do more than what you're doing right now. I mean, this fan in Boston being arrested, I think that's a step in the right direction. We'll see what happens from that situation and how severe the punishment is. But a message has to be sent that the NBA and that the authorities are not going to tolerate fans assaulting players. The NBA doesn't want to have happen what happened back in the day with Ron Artest and Steven Jackson in the Palace in Detroit. Like that can't happen again. You can't have that kind of scene. But if things continue to progress to the direction that they're going, if they continue to escalate and the NBA is not seen as doing enough, like you worry that the players are going to take matters into their own hands. Like you do. Because at some point, like you have to protect your personhood. You have to protect yourself. And if the fans feel emboldened to dehumanize you in that way, then as a man, you got to stand up.
Let's go to Jared in Morganville. Good morning, Jared. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How do these arenas know which fans are banned? Like, is there facial recognition? I mean, I got a generic face. How does someone know if I'm not coming back the next day?
I asked the generic same question last night. I don't know how. I mean, how in the world would every single security guard know that guy is not allowed back in the arena? I have no idea.
And I think you'd have to have a pitcher. I mean, that would be it. Like at each entrance, you'd have his pitcher. If you see this person,
like,
that aren't
like
allowed
the
in.
Post office, like the most.
I guess I don't think every arena has facial recognition. I could be wrong. I don't think that's the case.
It's not like they don't have the money to be able to put that technology in place, though. Like, if that's what it takes to be able to do that, then that's what you got to do. Like, you got to find a way to be able to enforce that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, there's so many. You guys are both right. Like, they have to do whatever it takes to try to make sure people, you know, to try to curb the behavior. I just, it's something that's happened forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we're talking about it now because it's just happening so frequently. And maybe that's a result of, you know, everyone finally being back in buildings. I also think, you know, I think there's a real resentment towards professional athletes right now, to be honest with you. Like, most
then,
a lot
then
of this
don't
stuff.
Then don't go. Then boycott the games. Then don't watch. But don't go after them.
No, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. But the more stuff, like, I'm reading some of the stuff. Like, I read a bunch of the Naomi Osaka stuff. Like, fans, like, the comments. Like, some of the stuff, like, the comments about, you know, Kyrie with the media and everything else. It's like, most of them are. You make a ton of money to play a sport. Shut your mouth and go play your sport.
That's right.
That's how people feel right now.
Shut up and go do what you're paid to do.
Shut up and dribble?
That's right. Yeah. For the most part, that's the way a lot of people happen to think. Not all, but a lot of people.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
How many mistakes do you think we're going to make this week of it's just being wrong with the day because we start on the Tuesday instead of the Monday? It's probably going to be a common theme this week, I would think, right?
No, for you, maybe.
You don't think you're going to... Chris didn't know there was a holiday yesterday. You don't think
that's
you're going to have
a fair point. That's
all
fair
week
point.
Long?
No, but I don't know how me and Chris can have issues. I mean, I'm going to know going into Thursday that it's Thursday because I got to do the open. I mean, you're the one that brings us in with what day it is. You'll have the issue.
Not going to lie, I almost had an issue this morning when RJ said CMT. I was like, wait a minute, what happened to Canty or Canty? And then I had to realize that it was the Tuesday and not the Monday.
It's not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
Yeah, I almost.
It is the Thursday.
Yeah, I almost tripped up this morning in a production call, yeah. Rico. So there might be a mistake or two on my.
This is what happens though when you have a weekend when you're rested. Like I need a long weekend from the long weekend. Like having that, you know, having because now Rocco's at the age too when he's 9 months, but he doesn't enjoy just being held. Like you can't just like walk around and hold him. He now has to be like a part of the action, so he's like got to be crawling all over the place.
Yeah.
So now I got three that are like fully active.
You want two dogs?
No.
No?
That's your own fault.
Well, as if I don't you feel have bad a child is not yours?
Yeah. I don't feel bad for you. You chose to do it. You went. You made the mistake of going. Because you knew exactly what was going to happen when you went to the pet store.
You know why? Because someone asked me, would you give the dogs up? I think it was Santiago. He said, if you could open up the door and they run away and they're healthy and they're happy and you never have to see them again, would you be okay with that? I would. But my kids would have such nervous breakdowns that I could not do that to them.
He said, I would.
I would. I would.
Open the door.
And now you've turned off the entire dog community.
No, listen, I love that. You have no understanding of how much work this is. Yesterday, I feed them. Sherry's out picking Alex up from a friend's house. I feed them. I walk them. I'm a superhero. They poop. I'm cleaning up. I'm throwing it away. I'm doing beautiful work, right? I feed them, and I hear... Oh, for God's sakes. And I look around the corner, and there's a pile of food that has now been regurgitated, and he looks at it. He's like, oh, a second dinner.
Oh, he ate it.
And he ate it again? Right up again. He ate it right up again. And somehow held it down the second time.
At least he cleans up after himself.
Yeah, that's great. When he's not peeing.
Why don't you? Well, but that's because they're eating stuff on their walks.
You don't understand.
Well, muzzle them. Put a muzzle on them so they can't eat the stuff.
Muzzle them?
Or only when you take them on their walks so they don't eat everything.
Oh, terrible. It's awful. You know. Let's go to James.
Why couldn't you go like with get them a turtle? Why did you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
No, the dogs
get the
don't
kids
eat a
turtle. Turtle.
Get the kids a turtle.
Because a turtle's not a pet. A turtle
it is.
Like, no.
By definition, it's a pet.
A turtle is not a pet. They need a dog.
Well, get less active dogs then. You got the most active dogs. You got two of them.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
No, not great is right.
I like turtles.
Yeah, let's get that kid. He'd be easier than these two dogs. Jay in Queens. Good morning, Jay. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I hope you had a great holiday weekend. Just two quick things. Well, first on the Knicks, I think some of the fans are losing track of the site. Or losing the idea that the Knicks are probably the least talented team in the playoffs, in my opinion. And you know, for them to have the fourth seed and be in a series with Atlanta, I know they're losing it right now. But what were the other options? The Bucks, and look what the Bucks to Miami. You know, I think that you know fans shouldn't lose track of the site that you know we're ahead of the game. You know, we're kind of ahead of where we should be. So let's keep that in focus and not. Start dumping on Randall and saying how Thibodeau is so horrible when, you know, they really shouldn't be here to begin with. And I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question about all of this stuff with the fans. Do you think there's a racial element to it as well? Or is it just fans acting up just because they have the opportunity to, knowing that probably nothing's really going to happen to them? Thank you guys and have a good day.
Oh, Jay, to answer that second question, there's absolutely an underlying racial element to everything that's going on. I mean, John Morant's dad, T. Morant, and he was out there in Utah. He said that there were fans that were yelling racial slurs at him while he was just at the ball game trying to check out his son. Like, there's something to be said for that part of it. It's one of those things that it's going to continue to be present. It's unfortunate that that's where we're at as a society still. But I mean, there's got to be something that can be done to try to change the way that fans behave at the games, because what's happened in the last calendar week is just completely unacceptable. It is.
Yeah, it's happening way too often, too. I mean, that's the thing.
If this was an isolated incident, right? If this happened monthly, you'd be bothered. It's not okay. You could tolerate it. This is now, what, 5, 6, 7 times in the postseason we've already seen this?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's every – I mean, it's – It feels like it's every night.
It feels like every night, yeah.
Every night. And this has happened forever. Like, I mean, let's not pretend like this hasn't happened forever. I mean, you go through the list. I mean, Don did a top five on it. You know, I mean, it's... You remember, I'll never forget it. I mean, he was my GM. Mike Milbury beating someone with his own shoe in the stands.
Yeah, at the Garden. But how often did it used to happen? Like, that kind of thing happened, and then you'd say, all right, it's an isolated incident. It's somewhat comical, and you look back, and you almost kind of laugh at it. Now it's every single night. It's water bottles. It's spitting. It's running onto the court. It's continued. It's beer being thrown at you. It's just, it continues every single day. So it's not funny anymore. There's no comedy to it anymore. It's awful at this point.
It's almost like people have been away for so long that they kind of forgot how to act. It's like what's acceptable.
I believe
and what's
that's
not
probably
acceptable.
True.
But listen, the NBA, I'm sure, because again, I mean, we're spending all this time talking about what's happening as opposed to focusing on what's being, you know, what the game that's the games that are being played. So we're focused on the wrong things. Is that they'll do or they'll try to do whatever they can to make sure this doesn't continue to happen. But all it takes is that one idiot fan. That's all it takes. Of the 15,000 people, 18,000, 19,000 people at these games, all it takes is one idiot to do something stupid. To ruin it.
And there's lots of idiots out there, and we've seen that. Eddie and Wyandanch. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing really well, Eddie. Thanks for the call.
All right. So I just want to make a parallel, like, from the Malice in the Palace. I've been saying this for years. Like, when that happened, that the players needed protection from fans. And I remember when the Malice in the Palace happened, the narrative was the players can't respond. Like, I understand why they can't respond, but back then the narrative wasn't blaming the fans for the behaviors. And I'm glad that this is happening, you know, putting the spotlight on the fans for what they're doing this year at the games and everything. And then the second point I want to make is, obviously, as you guys know, you can't control somebody's actions, right? So if a fan throws something at a player or something and they respond, you can't expect all the players to be mature enough, you know, to withhold and not respond, you know, not respond to that kind of stuff. Just like when the fan back in the day threw that bear at Ron Artest. So they have to be ready for whatever might happen, you know, for those consequences from the players.
Yeah, but Eddie, that's why players control themselves is because of the consequences. Like a fan being banned from games and, you know, we'll see what happens in Boston, but it'll be charged with assault and everything else is a little different than, you know, one of these players going to the stands and being suspended for a, you know, you go into the stands, you're talking you're losing, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars you're losing.
No, you're right, Rico. I mean, the players and the consequences, the repercussions that would come as a result of retaliating like that, that gives guys a certain level of pause. But what I'm saying is this, like the NBA has to get a handle on this, because if these things keep happening with the same level of frequency that we've seen over the course of the last week, then you're going to get some players that are going to react. You're going to get some players that are going to go out into the stands and try to retaliate. And that's the scene that the NBA can't afford, especially when they're trying to continue to progress and gain market share and, you know, and maintain their status as one of the upper echelon entertainment products. Like you can't expect that the players are going to continue to take what they've been subjected to the last calendar week. You just can't. That's unrealistic. That's why I feel like the NBA has to have a sense of urgency when trying to attack this problem and trying to curb this kind of behavior.
Yeah, because you're going to do it to the wrong guy in the wrong moment, and you're going to have a repeat of what we saw. And you think now it's a lot of conversation? It'll dominate every show across the nation. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. All right, RJ, I know we're bringing back the old CMT. Let's bring it back right now.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes, on a Tuesday, doing it the old way. I also have to tell you guys something. Chris knows this, but I don't know if the other two of you do. In 100 days, something will happen that will impact all of your lives. You can probably figure it out, but if you don't, I'll tell you in a minute.
No, we know what it is.
I bet you do.
A bloodbath on a Thursday.
That's a big clue right there, is what that is. All right. Doing this the old way. Cuddle, marry, and trash. So the Yankees swept by the Tigers over the weekend, then lost another game to 41-year-old Rich Hill and the Rays. They've scored 6 runs in 4 games. Cuddle, marry, and trash. Here's your three options. What the Yankees' ceiling is this season at Memorial Day. They always say Memorial Day is when you can really take stock in what the standings are. Are they World Series contenders, pennant contenders, or AL East contenders?
Oh, my goodness.
World
Series?
We're supposed
to, what we think is most likely?
Yeah, well, how high you think the ceiling is.
What is it? World Series, pennant, and what?
AL East.
Division.
Division.
Mm-hmm. All right, so right now, from what we've seen, I would marry division.
Mm-hmm.
I would cuddle pennant, and I would trash World Series.
Yeah, I see it the same way. Yeah. I'd cuddle the pennant.
I think
pennant.
We all do.
Yeah. Yeah, cuddle the pennant, marry the division, and trash the World Series.
Yeah, RJ, that was a terrible way to start. I think that was...
I don't think
wow.
so.
Wow.
I think that was a good one.
Okay.
I think that was a good one.
All right.
So we'll remember it then. The moment the Yankees
get ruled
out.
How could you possibly ask? What do we think the Yankees are going to do? I mean,
well, I could see you marrying the division, but I could see the pennant.
I mean,
World
you
Series.
Would have been better off giving us they missed the playoffs entirely or division,
no.
and then we'd have some thought.
No.
Why do you
World
hate Series
me?
Pennant and division? I don't know. I'm underwhelmed.
Well, that's okay. You think there's a chance they missed the playoffs?
A chance, yeah.
So you would say that there's a better chance they missed the playoffs than compete for the pennant? Is what you're telling me?
No. But I think there's a chance that I would have given you pennant, wild card, or miss it. Then
Ooh,
I think you'd had a
wow.
better CMT.
Okay.
Touche, RJ. Touche.
Answer your own question, then.
No, no.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I will not.
Answer your own question.
I'm not hosting it. I can't host it, play it. I mean, you're asking too much of me. Do the reads. I'm not doing all this.
Sure,
you ask it then.
You're an amazing talent. You said something like this.
Why did you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
Wow.
You can do anything you put your
I
mind
like
to.
I like turtles.
You can do anything you put your mind to. So I think you should answer it.
Yeah, seriously. Get the dogs an emotional support turtle.
An emotional support turtle. They eat the turtle. They eat rocks.
They can't eat the turtle shell. They cannot eat the turtle shell.
They would try.
Yeah, but then unsuccessfully, I would imagine.
Yeah, we unsuccessfully. They would eat it, and then we'd be back in the emergency unit half an hour away.
Sometimes we sign on to the Zoom before, and I'll say, Dave, how was your day yesterday? And I say, horrible. The dog tried to eat a tree.
He tried to eat a fake plant yesterday. Not even a real plant. A fake plant.
Oh, all right. All right, let's see if I can do better here then. So, in his second start since returning from the IL...
Get the dogs a turtle.
You said that.
Why did you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
All right. Jacob DeGrom, 6 scoreless. His ERA is 0.71. So, lowest for a starter with the requisite innings through the end of May since 1964. The Mets, 3.5 games clear of everyone in the NL East. So, I want to see where you sit with them. Cuddle, marry, and trash... Because some of you would have to go against your preseason picks. The division winner, right as of right now, for the NL East, the Mets, Braves, and Phillies.
Ooh. All right, I will go first here. And this is much better than your first horrendous question. I'm going to trash the Phillies. I don't think the Phillies are all that great. I have no issue trashing them. And now becomes the real question. All right, I'll do it. I'll take the bait. I will cuddle the Braves, and I will change my prediction. The Mets are winning. Wait, what happens when they get healthy? Bullpen has been way better than I expected. Walker better. Stroman better. I will marry the New York Mets.
Look at Dave Rothenberg switching it up.
That's right.
Going up against his preseason predictions. I am going to fall right in line with my preseason predictions. I am going to marry the New York Metropolitans for the NL East Division Crown. I'm going to cuddle the Braves. I believe I picked them to be a wild card team. And I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, that they'll probably be the runner-up in this division. And I am going to trash the Phillies.
I agree with you guys. My only concern right now with the Mets is with the depth of the rotation. I think that's going to be something they have to address. Well, I mean, I don't know how you don't. Are we just expecting that Syndergaard, when he comes back, he's just going to jump right in?
No.
Or Carrasco just going to jump right in?
I think you could bring in a fifth starter, fourth starter at some point. I mean, your top three you completely trust, right?
Yeah, the top three, but right. I mean, we're still talking about, I mean, we still have a huge chunk of the season left to get
through. Maybe bring in Scooble.
The division standings right now, the Mets 3.5 up on the Braves, and they're 5 up on the Phillies. Cool.
Five's a big number.
And the Marlins. Washington is last 7 games out. All right. Back to basketball. The Lakers. So Anthony Davis questionable for Game 5. That series with the Suns all tied at 2. LeBron was asked if he can carry the load for the Lakers. Here's what he said.
For me, it's putting our team in position to be successful. It starts with my approach. It starts with my accountability. Trickles down to everybody else. So, you know, these shoulders was built for a reason. And, you know, if it takes for me to put some more on top of it, then so be it. Win, lose, or draw. I'm ready for the challenge.
Well, you can't draw. You have to win or lose. So.
Wow.
You're taking shots at LeBron.
Wow. I'm not taking it. I love LeBron. That actually sounded like a little bit of a shot at Anthony Davis. But cuddle, marry, or trash? That's not the question. Cuddle, marry, or trash the Nets, the Lakers, and the field as NBA title favorites.
Oh, okay. I gotta trash the Lakers right now, and I hate to do that with my team, but I have to, man. I mean, AD with this groin thing, like, it doesn't sound like he's gonna play in Game 5, and there's no telling what version of AD you're gonna get for the rest of this series if he is able to get back. And without AD being healthy, this is not gonna be the same Lakers team, and this is a feisty Phoenix Suns team. So I gotta trash the Lakers for being the NBA title favorites. I mean, we don't know that they're going to be able to get out of the first round series. So I got to trash that. I will cuddle the field. And when I say cuddle and the field, I'm thinking more of the Milwaukee Bucks than anybody else. But although the Clippers are making a little bit of a resurgence, and I will marry the Brooklyn Nets as the NBA title favorites.
Quickly, so I don't waste too much time, I agree with Chris across the board.
Yeah, I want to disagree, but I have a hard time disagreeing. I'll agree with you guys.
All right, one more. We'll pay off the tease to 100 days till Cowboys and Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday, September 9th, the NFL regular season kicks off. Last one, Patrick Mahomes spoke about the possibility of facing Aaron Rodgers twice a year, and that would be under the assumption he gets traded to the Broncos. Here's what he said.
I mean, obviously, it'd be awesome. I mean, to have that challenge every 2 year times a year, every single year, it would be a great opportunity. I mean, he's a heck of a football player. He's been doing it for a long time that I've watched play and learned a lot from.
Absolutely.
Definitely, if he came to the AFC West, it would just make it a little tougher for us. But yeah, we're up for the challenge.
Well, the reason I play that is because there's no, I know what else is he going to say. The guy's lying through his teeth. Who wants to play Aaron Rodgers twice a year? Oh, that would be fun. It'd be a fun challenge. No, it wouldn't. It'd be no fun. But cuddle, marry, and trash the Packers, the Broncos, or no team at all as the place that Aaron Rodgers plays football in 2021.
Ooh. Rick, why don't you start us out here?
I'll start. I will trash no team at all. I will cuddle. I'll cuddle the Broncos. I'll marry the Packers.
I wish I had some grand answer to give that was different than what Rick just gave, but I will agree across the board. He's going to play, so I'll trash that. Broncos would be the cuddle, and Packers is where he is. They have his rights, and I will marry them.
Yeah, it's unanimous, although I do wish I had the option to trash the music that was in the background during the Mahomes interview. Just saying.
Or the voice, one of the two.
So there we have it. Getting tweets, by the way, that said, go back to the old version.
That wasn't great.
But I don't know that version is not great, or RJ just wasn't great today.
Questions were rough. I mean, it was just the start, really, is what got you. Like, I think your question would have been better to start us off with. The wild card, you know what I mean?
Told you guys I liked the other version.
Yeah?
I liked our version, yeah.
And Pedro Hernandez says, I like the other version of CMT. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I liked our version.
Now, is he diabolical enough to intentionally give us a horrendous version of the one we wanted so we go back to his version?
Can't put anything past RJ. I don't think you can put anything past RJ. Like,
there's really only one good version, let's face it. Was the original, was the OG version. Hosted by yours truly. But that ship has sailed.
Why don't we go back?
No, that ship has
sailed. Why?
Because that ship has sailed.
Why?
Because now I have the Open.
Oh, so forgot.
My new thing is the Thursday Open.
So you spend 2 minutes doing an Open. You can't also on a different day with a day off in between? So the Knicks can play back-to-back games, but you can't do CMT on a Tuesday and the Open on a Thursday?
No, I cannot. I have the Open. I have Did It Happen in Florida. I have my observations. God. Your segment is you sit there and people ask you questions. You do no work for your segment. None.
The stress of my segment. I host the show.
You do zero work for your segment. Zero. Not 1 ounce of extra effort.
I'm
going to
send you all these reads throughout the show.
I'll do the reads. All you're doing is reading. I told you, send them my way.
Okay.
Chris and I will read stuff.
Okay.
You're going to rope me in on this?
Yeah, you're roped in right. that too. Since it's so easy.
Wait a minute.
Since it's just so easy to do.
Dave, you know what I think?
Talk wireless.
Dave, you know what I think we should do? Dave, I think we should put a poll out there. And see if the people want Rico to go back to being the host of CMT.
Yeah, I agree
with you. Because Rico has shown that if it's something that the people want, that the people think is in the best interest of the
champ,
show,
yes.
then he's gonna bite the bullet and he's actually gonna go out there and do it. So if we put up a poll and we get overwhelming listener support for Rico being back as the host for CMT, it's absolutely gonna happen.
And we give it back to you, the people.
Exactly.
RJ, run it up the pole, as Kay would say. Run it up the pole. RJ hosts old way, new way, or Rick hosts the OG way, as he so eloquently said. 800-919-3776. So next Tuesday, a new version of CMT, maybe going old school with Rick hosting and many reads of difficult length.
I'm not doing reads. If I'm doing no. Time, I ain't doing
just offer yourself for the read.
I'm not doing both.
You just
if
said
I lose
do the
this
read.
Poll. If I lose this poll, I am not doing reads on top
all right,
of.
Let's take it one step at a time. RJ, put the poll up, and we'll see if he does CMT. If he does not, I can filter him some of these beautiful reads for him to do.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.